Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podzor episode 50.
Hello, 50, the big 5.
The big 5-0. We are officially at middle age.
Oh!
Well, I guess only if we live to 100.
Middle age for people.
What's the date today? I don't even know.
Today is January 8th,
2007. The first episode of 2007.
This is our New Year's edition. Unfortunately,
yes.
We're a little bit late, but
that's okay.
Hopefully, we'll.
How was your New Year's? How was your Christmas? How was all that stuff?
All sorts of crazy.
Yeah, mine too. All sorts of craziness.
Yeah,
but
I thought we talked about Christmas stuff because we talked about all our cool gadgets.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I got downsized to put
yes,
it.
Yes, you did.
To put it in office space lingo. Yeah. So
I feel sorry for your wife.
Why?
Oh, not that kind of downsize.
Bitch.
I thought you were already pretty small.
So, and of course, anybody who's paying attention has noticed that our website has gone through a couple of changes.
Yes, that's right.
We now have an official business presence.
Yep. And one of the business models that we sort of looked at for a little while is doing some advertising on podcasting and getting some podcasters together and sort of doing it in bulk, and that kind of fell through. You really need national clients to do that, and
right.
You need all kinds of contacts and connections.
And to be honest, advertising in a podcast still hasn't taken off.
No.
And
I don't know if it's a good business model or not.
And I don't think so either. And the more I've been looking into our podcast production version of it, a lot of stuff that I see is this is what they talk about. Traditional advertising is what they coin interruption advertising.
Yes.
And I think if you start to put traditional advertising in podcasts now, it's kind of the reason we download podcasts. Yeah,
right.
Then you feel interrupted. And I have some of the podcasts I listen to, some business stuff, and even some of the podcaster stuff.
They put little ads
in there.
And it's irritating.
And I'm annoyed.
Yeah, yeah. I listen to Cranky Geeks. The only ones that I don't mind, actually, are the what they call talent reads. I don't mind it when, like, I'm listening to Twit, and Leo Laporte will say something like, hey, wait a minute, guys, it's time for an ad.
Right.
I want to thank our sponsors once again, blah, 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 blah. And then they just get right back into it.
Right.
And the reason I don't mind those so much is because he's pacing the show, he can kind of make a decision about when it's okay to mention it.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like as much of a break because they're doing it between stories or whatever the case might be.
And the other thing that I've learned that's actually pretty interesting and actually very poignant. Pulling out
nice
the P word.
Three points.
Good. Is that podcast, like our show, it makes it very personal. Like, we've gotten to know some of our listeners, and they've gotten to know us.
You form a community.
When we say things, like, it's not so annoying, because it's like your buddy saying, hey, I was checking out something, and give you some information on it, and then he's on his way.
Right.
It doesn't seem so grating for them to, go away, and you're not listening to them anymore for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever that commercial is.
Right.
It feels a little okay.
Well, and I think
it's like putting lube on before you do it, instead of just going right up.
Boom. Yeah, that's... Yeah. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
From what I hear. and I think it's like having a show about World of Warcraft. Is it advertising for the company? Do more people want to buy it?
Probably.
It's forming a community.
Yeah.
But the reason that people are listening is because they want to hear a podcast about the World of Warcraft.
Right.
So anywho, we're spooling that up. We're spooling up trying to get into the business of producing podcasts for other people.
Right. Producing and managing.
And managing.
That's the important
part,
I think, more than anything else.
Yeah. And so you'll see some changes to the website. You can always get to our original blog website. And right now the link is Podzor. It's up in the upper right-hand corner of our site.
Yep.
So Yeah, this is not going away, and
away. And you can reach us now to go right to the Podzor site.
Yep.
We have www.podzor.com. So we're going to be here for all eternity.
That's right.
Have no fear.
We drank from the tree of life. Now we are powerful.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, was that not the case?
No.
Oh.
No.
Was that just some random tree that I found?
Must have been.
No wonder it was sticky.
I wasn't drinking from anybody's tree of life.
No?
No.
It's very sticky.
That's okay. Really... I'm uncomfortable right now.
Are you?
I am.
Ah.
Yeah, not really.
So, comments and corrections. Let's dive into the show head first, shall we?
We shall.
Comments and corrections. I think those were it. Those were the comments. We have
yes.
No corrections because we are perfect.
Uh-huh.
So, with that, shall we move on to tech tips?
We shall.
Okay. This was kind of a tech tip, kind of a news story, didn't know which, but Audacity has now has a new version. It's the beta version, 1.3.2.
I saw that. I was just updating to 1.2.6 and saw the 1.3.2.
The 1.3.2? The 1.3.2 is, in my opinion, very worth the upgrade. It's stable enough for me. I've been using it for a while. I had one crash not too long ago. Just save early and save often, and you won't have any problems. I think the biggest upgrade, the thing that I am... that makes me the happiest is they now have batch jobs. So what you can do is you can say, okay, I'm going to...
You can say batch!
Batch! I'm going to use the compressor, then I'm going to use the bass boost, and then I'm going to use the this and that and the other thing. And
then you just run it.
When I import a new audio, when I import this show, the first thing I'll do is run that batch to process the spoken word audio.
Now, speaking of that, when you get ready to edit this episode,
yeah,
let me know, because I want to come over and learn a few things. Because you've been doing most of the editing, and right now, since I am joblish,
right,
and looking to get into some of the stuff, I'm going to have to figure some of that stuff out, and since I haven't really done it yet...
Well, it's interesting.
You've learned some of the little tricks and stuff.
Yeah. I downloaded the demo version of Acid and SoundForge, and found that for this kind of work, Audacity, and maybe it's just because I don't know the products as well, Audacity works a lot better.
Does it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's simple, it's easy, and it just works.
Are we still using the Levelator?
I used the Levelator the last time, and I'll probably use it again this time. I use the Levelator as long as we are on... Well, as long as my audio... as long as we're not recording in stereo.
Now,
we're not recording in stereo.
Right.
So then I use the Levelator so that we don't get one real soft and one real loud. Last time I didn't have to use it, though, so...
Oh, good.
Because it was pretty good. So,
right. So anyway, going off topic there. Audacity 1.3 in beta.
1.3.2. And you know what? Let me click on this link real quick, since it doesn't up our recordings anymore.
Click.
You have things like, the repair and equalization effects are nice, too.
What's that?
Repair, if you have a pop in the audio, like a real high spike.
Like a...
Yes. You can highlight a section, and it'll give you a smooth curve
very
to that
nice.
Section, and it'll take out all the peaks and valleys and stuff. So there are some I would really encourage, especially like Liana, who's doing her own podcast and whatnot. They coexist nicely on your machine. So if you're having trouble with it, you can just
The two versions, the stable version will
coexist
with the beta.
So.
All right,
that's
cool. Pocket Mod.
My next tech tip is Pocket Mod.
Dude, I was just checking this thing out, and it's fantastic.
Isn't this the coolest thing?
At first, I thought it was a joke.
Right,
I was
too.
Like, okay, it's a piece of paper. And then as I started reading it, it's actually
It's
brilliant.
Really clever.
It is very clever.
I don't know about you, but I have tried... hundreds of different ways to keep myself organized. And to keep a to-do list, and I have tried it digitally, and I have tried it this way, and I have tried it that way. I've kept little calendars and all kinds. Oh, those are storyboards, by the way.
I saw that.
I've kept little calendars and all kinds of stuff, and none of it's worked. And I know why none of it's worked. None of it's worked because I don't feel like doing it.
Right.
And so I've always struggled to find that balance between something that is simple enough that I'll actually do it, yet complicated enough that it makes it useful for me.
Right. So you don't think that? Well, let's explain. What it is, it's a Flash application.
Well, we'll just show them. Here it is.
Oh, everybody see this? Okay, if you're looking at what Dan's, he's holding up there to his microphone.
Now I'm talking between it and the microphone.
Right, so you can see, it's just that. There you
it's
go.
It's just that. No. So what it is it's a folded up piece of paper.
Right.
And what you can do is you can put different items on each fold.
How many sheets is it?
One,
how many
two,
pages?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8. So you got 8 basically
There's
small
8
pages.
Sides.
It looks like a small book.
Yep.
And it's a Flash application where you have several different kind of templates.
Yep.
And you can create an individual page for
yep.
each of those 8 pages.
And they've got Sudoku and like just little grids if you want to draw, checklists.
Calendars.
Storyboards.
I thought about making a couple of those just so I could carry it around. And if I see an idea for a shot,
storyboard,
throw it in there.
I used to work for a guy, my first computer job actually at... I don't remember the place now. Do you remember
it was
the
Major Micro. Down in Kalamazoo.
Oh, God. What a horrible name. At Major Micro down in Kalamazoo, this guy would organize his entire life on a folded up piece of paper in his back pocket.
Yeah.
And it worked really well for him. And it actually worked really well for me for quite a while. So I'm actually going to give this a try. I'm going to see if this will work for
you
me.
You know what? What I did today, I grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down all these things I had to do.
Yep.
And I've been going around the whole day checking them off. And I'm thinking, you know what?
It's just
because when I'm done, yeah, because then I can throw it away. And
it's just a piece of paper.
My only thing is I think I'd probably get sick of printing it out and folding it up and doing that again. I don't know how long a book will last.
Right. No, that could very well be. Yeah. Yeah. That could very well be.
I really suggest we check it out. It
yeah,
just looks
it's
fun,
fun,
first of all.
It is fun. And, of course, you can make your own pages for the little pocket mod thing.
Okay.
But it's very difficult to describe. Very simple once you see it.
Right.
I suggest that's more of a life hack than it is a tech tip.
A life hack.
A life hack. Yeah, I like the life hacks.
Pocket mod. So, yeah.
Pocket mod.
Very cool.
And I bet you could even do a search for pocket mod.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
What?
Science and tech stuff. And you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to use my little pocket mod here.
Get out.
And I'm going to take a little note at what time we do science and tech stuff. At 12:26.
We're probably not supposed to take notes out loud so the audience can hear us.
12:26. Sci-tech.
You're going to edit that out, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'll edit that right out, dude. That'll get taken right out first thing.
All right.
SanDisk
Tech
rolls out flash hard drives for laptops.
Really?
I believe it's a 40 gig hard drive. I don't know why, but I giggle every time I say hard drive.
That's because you're immature.
Oh, I have the mind of a 3-year-old. No, a 3-year-old wouldn't really get that joke, would they?
Probably not.
Let's hope not.
You'd
anyway.
Have to be more like, I'm guessing 10 to 12-ish.
10 to 12-ish.
You're going to start getting that.
So did I tell you I took care of a
whoa.
A 2-year-old and a 6-year-old this weekend?
You need to make a softer transition between talking about hard drives and that and then taking care of.
Oh, no, not like taken care of, like taken care of. No.
Wow.
Jen's niece and nephew. And, of course, we don't have kids. And I don't know about you, but I never babysat or anything when I was a kid.
Oh, I babysat all the time.
I never took care of children. So this weekend was the longest period of time I have had any children under my care.
How old are they?
2 and 6.
So really, the 2-year-old house trained. I say that potty trained, all
no,
that stuff.
No, okay, but that wasn't all that big a deal.
Yeah, no, but sometimes if you've never taken care of kids before, it's a little scary. The first time you're like,
"I
got to the bathroom."
I was a little nervous about the whole thing, and it was quite a traumatic experience.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was good because we had fun, and the most bizarre thing is when we got home to our nice, quiet house. It was nice that it was quiet, but it almost felt a little empty at the same time. I was like, well, where are the screaming kids?
Yeah.
Because it was kind of fun, too. So, anyway, the hard drive.
So there we go.
So there we go. SanDisk rolls out flash hard drive. 32 gigabyte hard drive. I guess my feelings on this is that what I think would be a cool idea is if you had a primary partition on this 32 gigabyte hard drive,
yep,
and then you had like a 120 gig hard drive that was a secondary partition. So that way, like your OS and things like that would boot up. Not only would boot up super fast, but I think one of the big things about this is that it uses a lot less power, like a lot less power.
Really?
Because there's no moving parts.
Well, the other thing I wonder is, you should be able to have swappable OSs.
Oh, I don't think these are swappable. I mean, maybe they could be.
These aren't the typical. You plug them into a port and.
No, they're not PCMCIA hard drives.
No. I know that, but you don't put them in a. It's just they use flash.
You'd probably have to undo a screw and pull it out and all that.
Well,
stuff.
I would say though, then this is the first step in that, and possibly in that direction to where you could put a. You'd have a bay where you put your flash drive in.
And they've been talking about having. What do they call it? It's essentially non-moving parts hard drive.
Right.
And like
and that's
I
what
say,
this is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be, like I say, it'll be a huge difference for battery life. Huge difference.
What's cost going to look like, you think?
I'll bet you they'll be very, very expensive. Very expensive. Because when, let's see, some hard drives have a capacity of 256 gigabytes.
And are quite... Oh, sophisticated.
And that's for military and aerospace.
Okay.
So at 250 gigs, we're talking about real hard drive space then.
Right.
I mean, that's my laptop has 60 gigs.
Yeah. Well, and I just bought my SATA 250 gig hard drive for my computer.
Yep.
For like $79.
Yep. So here we go. SanDisk's flash drive can increase battery life by about 10%.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's really good, actually.
Yep. I like it. So there you go. SanDisk. I would expect to see those in 07.
So are you familiar with some of the top hard drive manufacturers and who's better, who's not?
And maybe this is old school, but I really prefer Western Digital.
Do you?
I think that they... I have had a lot of success, personal success with Western Digital. I don't know if they're still making drives.
They are. That's what this.
No. I don't know if I don't. Seagate and Maxdor are two that I have had trouble with, and those I generally stay away from.
Those are a little older too, I think.
Yeah.
Like some of my original computers I still have around here have old Maxdor drives in them.
Right. So again, I go with Western Digital and. I haven't gotten into the SATA stuff because I don't have a SATA capable computer.
Yeah, I had one completely by accident,
but
I didn't plan.
I got lucky enough. I mean, I think that drive speed now. You know, they talk about caching on hard drives.
Yeah,
but I think it's less and less important when you're doing video and audio editing because the difference is that if you're doing a lot of repetitive functions on a non-changing set of data.
Yeah.
Then your cache is going to be valuable because you'll cache that data.
Right.
And then those functions will be applied to that cache.
Sure.
If you're doing one function on a large chunk of data, that data is too big to be cached, so it's going to do you absolutely no fucking good at all.
Right.
And so if you're applying, say, a color correction to a piece of video, your cache isn't going to do anything.
Right, because it's too big, and it's got to go across the whole thing, and it's changing and all
right.
that stuff.
So those are just some things to keep in mind. But I like this. I like the flash drives, especially for the laptops. And I still want a tablet.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll never get one, so what's it matter? The Xbox, and this, I actually have a couple comments about this.
Okay.
Xbox crosses 10 million mark. Xbox 360, crosses 10 million mark. Xbox 360 to serve as IPTV set-top box.
I heard about that.
Now, let me tell you something interesting about this story, and I didn't even realize it until I did it. I didn't put this story in video game stuff. I put it in science and tech stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason I did that is because the Xbox 360 is moving into that gray area where it's less and less of a video game platform and more of an entertainment platform.
Right.
And I know that everybody was sort of moving in that direction, especially Sony was pushing in that direction. By the way, almost every Best Buy in Grand Rapids has Sony's sitting out, ready to be purchased in stock.
Yeah.
Has PlayStation 3s.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. No Wiis, though. The Wiis are all gone.
Are they?
You still can't get a Wii off the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, Sony, I heard, is just, I mean, that's a whole other discussion maybe we can get into, but.
So I think the 360 has definitely won the console war for this season anyway.
Well,
big time.
They had a year head start. And that helped considerably.
Their Christmas sales were larger than both the Wii and the PS3.
Right.
So my thought is, even though they've been out for a year, they still won the Christmas sales.
Yep.
Which, again, it all goes back to the number of
games. So did the Nintendo Wii beat out the Sony PlayStation 3?
Yes. I think it sold 1.2 million.
So you think Sony's sitting back on their heels at this point going, maybe we missed the mark?
I think they're praying to God that they sell some consoles for next Christmas.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, next Christmas is really when it'll be telling, because the prices will be reduced, more games will be out, second generation games will be out, we'll get to really see what the PlayStation is going to be about.
Well, they said the big portion of the people who actually bought the PlayStations originally, the PlayStation 3s, bought them to sell them. And when they weren't selling for the outrageous price they thought it would, they just sent them back.
Wow. Burn.
Burn!
So let's talk about this specifically.
Talk about IPTV.
IPTV is a really stupid name. And what it stands for is Internet Protocol TV. Why would you call something Internet Protocol? I don't know. In other words,
to satisfy the geeks and the normal people, because it's got an acronym.
You know what? Everybody listening to this podcast know what a podcast is. This is IP radio. Podcasting is IP radio. And so
I like that better. Let's just start calling this IP radio Zor.
Oh, I like it. So IPTV is just TV that streams across the internet.
Sorry,
as opposed
really
to
childish thought. IPTV.
Oh,
IP radio.
IP radio. It hurts coming out, but
well, once you get past the rabbit ears. Wait, no, that's the TV. Never mind.
I was just going to let you wallow in that for a little while. What the fuck was I talking about? I don't know.
You're talking about IPTV.
Oh, so one of the things I'm really excited about is I got my network adapter for my 360 now. My wireless network adapter.
Okay.
I got my high-def TV.
How much was the wireless adapter?
$100 fucking dollars.
So how much have you paid for the Xbox 360?
Don't you worry about it. I'm gonna
plus
fucking,
$100.
I'm going to fucking strangle somebody at Microsoft because, you know what? It's just a USB wireless adapter. That's all it fucking is.
Yeah.
I can get one of those for
$40.
But it's
like black and stuff, right?
It has special clips that holds it to the back of the fucking Xbox. God, that pisses me off. But I've got it hooked up to my high-def TV.
All right.
So now I can, quote-unquote, rent high-def movies from Xbox Live.
Right.
Which I'm eager.
And that
to
seems
try.
To be the big talk for Xbox 360s.
And it is the big
ability.
Talk. I really think, I will make a prediction. My last prediction failed.
What was your last prediction?
My last prediction...
Volcano in Grand Rapids, right?
No.
No?
It was that... that Zilla would be the new prefix for everything.
Wow, I totally must have missed
Postfix.
That prediction.
It'd be the new Postfix.
Right, yes.
So that, you know, it'd be the new X.
Right.
So Microsoft's new Xbox would be Boxzilla. Which reminds
wow,
me of a woman I met.
Wow, and that didn't stick? Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, so that didn't stick for some reason. I was kind of pissed about it. I am Boxzilla.
Wow.
So, this is my prediction for 2007.
All right.
At some point, they will add the capability to do RSS feeds in Xbox Live.
Ooh, you know what that means?
That means I'm going to have
Pods or on the Xbox 360,
that
baby.
Means I'm going to have to buy a new fucking hard drive for my Xbox.
Yeah.
I looked at them today. 20 gig hard drive.
Yep.
$250.
Yep.
No, $150. $150 for a 20 gig hard drive.
They all start that way, dude. All this technology, when it first comes out, starts out just insanely overpriced.
You bought a hard drive, 250 gigs, for $80.
Yeah.
Makes
but,
me angry.
You know,
Dan
you
is
got
angry.
Different ports and plugs and cables.
Yeah, you have to insert slot A into tab B.
It's the other way around there, dude.
What?
Maybe that's why you have some women problems.
Oh.
So.
I keep going ass to ass and just doesn't work.
Maybe you need more lube.
Ah.
Microsoft Xbox 360 version 2 coming soon?
Yes. So here's another thing along the lines of Xbox 360.
They're not going to... So wait. Is this just Xbox 360 with more features?
Yes.
Similar to how they're already doing the Wii 2.
Yes. So it will not be the Xbox 720.
So if they're going to have a Wii 2, would it actually be the Wii also?
Or it might be the Wii.
Now that,
that would be
would
awesome.
Be fantastic. The Wii. I'm gonna go play with my Wii.
It's interactive.
I'm gonna use my nunchuck with my Wii.
Oh,
it's got an analog stick.
Yeah, I've done that before. It doesn't work.
Oh.
So it's gonna have HDMI out. It's going to have a dual format. Or it's either going to have a HD DVD drive, possibly a dual format HD DVD Blu-ray.
Oh, is that the back of it?
Yeah.
Blu-ray, are they going to be able to do that without breaking the patents of Sony, or is Sony going to actually be held up by Microsoft
you know
paying
what?
Them for their technology?
Yeah, they're probably just going to do HD DVD, but it'll be integrated into the box.
Gotcha.
And a 120 gig hard drive.
I see USB, Ethernet,
yep.
FireWire.
It's got all that stuff already. But it doesn't have the HDMI, which not a whole lot of people care about, to tell you the truth. But.
Well, you know what's going to happen when it's like next year, especially they're going to come out with the new 100 gig hard drive Xbox 360. Yeah.
They still come out with the super deluxe version, and
right.
A few will buy it and a few won't. But
right,
you know, so that it's moving along the lines of the home entertainment experience and whatnot.
Interesting.
Yes, yes. So did you have any science and tech stuff that you wanted to go over?
Let's see. Covering for Dan while he writes down times.
27, 35,
tech stuff.
Movie stuff.
No, I didn't.
No?
Let's go ahead and go on to movie stuff.
Movie stuff? We had any movie stuff?
Yeah, we do.
Ah, cool.
What do you got here?
Talkie.
Indiana Jones.
To begin production.
Another Indiana Jones. I tell you, I think we should have a celebrity death match.
Death match.
A celebrity death match with Rocky versus Indiana Jones.
I want to see that new Rocky. Do you want to see that new Rocky?
No.
I do. I so want to see that new Rocky.
Why?
Because it's Rocky, man.
Come on.
You gotta see the Eye of the Tiger one last time.
Well, until it comes out in 2010.
Dude, I totally want to see a new Conan.
No. Is there a new Conan coming out?
No. But I wish there were.
I wish there were. Yeah. I would pay to see that.
I'd go see Arnold
Conan
fucking
is cool.
Wreck some Cuba Gooding Jr.
What?
No, not Cuba Gooding Jr.
Maybe.
Who was that guy? James Earl Jones. It's a black guy with three names, okay? Not quite the same, though, is it?
Not quite the same. Not quite and the I don't same. Think Cuba Gooding Jr. was much more than probably 10 when that movie came out.
Well, maybe Conan needs to put the smack down on a 10-year-old. That would be entertainment.
Conan versus the
10-year-old. So, anyway.
All right, Indiana Jones.
Here's one of my opinions on Indiana Jones and the whole series and whatnot. Harrison Ford is going to play Indiana Jones again.
Right.
I think that's the worst mistake ever.
Wow. I'm assuming, my assumption is, did I already say that I was assuming this?
You would assume that your assumption is.
Right.
Which is a little redundant, but,
right.
You know.
I would think he is going to be like older Indiana Jones, obviously because he's older, and maybe, passing the torch on.
Yeah, I don't think that works for me. I think what they should do is like a James Bond type thing.
Oof.
Indiana Jones should be a new actor, and it should still be the same Indiana, still the same character, but a new actor.
I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that.
I think that people would be pissed with the first movie, but if they pick someone that's good enough, then at that point, because I don't know, the whole passing of the torch thing to the next person, all of a sudden it's not Indiana Jones anymore. What's going to happen when you come out with Indiana Jones 5 that's not Indiana Jones, that doesn't have Indiana Jones in it?
Well, yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
I'm surprised. I wish I'd come up with some new freaking ideas. I'm so sick of seeing them rehash old movies. In fact, I just saw a trailer for The Hitcher, a remake of The Hitcher.
I saw that.
I'm like, come on, man.
Right. And
the original Hitcher was actually a really good movie.
Yeah. Are they re-releasing that, I thought?
No. It drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how much I'm looking forward
to
this.
Shit. Well, they're doing it for the draw of the name. I mean, that's the whole reason. I mean, you got to have Harrison Ford in it because they're trying to get money off of drawing people in to see Harrison Ford again. And, of course, you're going to wonder, is this going to be the last bout of Indiana Jones? What's going to happen?
Right. Yeah.
Is there a trailer or anything for this?
Let me check. I'm not sure.
Click, click, click.
I'm hungry, dude.
Oh, this is just a press room release.
Just a press room release. You can go inside Lucas's film.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I've heard it's nice and warm in there.
I don't know. I got mixed feelings on that. Yeah. I mean, I hope it's good. Chances are it will be. The other ones were good. Well, aside from Temple of Doom, sorry to say. Well done movie, but...
Yeah.
It was too out of sorts. I mean,
not quite up to the
Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, and some strange stones in the middle of Tibet,
and
Africa.
Eat monkey brains,
and
Short Round,
and a big mine. I'm not buying.
Short Round grew up to do some more movies, didn't he?
I think he did. So. Okay,
the next one, Fearless. Have you seen Fearless yet?
I don't know. Which one? Who's in this?
Fearless is supposedly
Jet Li,
the last martial arts movie that Jet Li will ever do.
Is this the new one where he's it's set back in the day and he's going to fight for the kingdom or whatever?
Biographical.
That's right.
He doesn't really fight for the kingdom. He supposedly the foreigners are trying to put the Chinese in their place, and the fight is a metaphor for doing that. So on and so forth. So
is this out right now?
It's out right now on DVD.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. I thought it was pretty good. It's very old school. So this is not like Matrix and not like Crouching Tiger.
Going back to the roots, are they?
They do very little wire work in here.
Good.
It is like if you've ever seen Once Upon a Time in China, 1, 2, or 3. It's very similar to that. They do a nice sweet brawl in a restaurant, and it's
cool.
Good. It's thin on plot, but
it's a martial arts movie.
But it's a martial arts.
We don't care
movie.
About plot. We just care about kicking ass.
It reminds me a little bit of what was that Van Damme movie?
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. It reminds me a little bit about Bloodsport.
That reminded me of that.
It is a movie about a fight.
Right.
Not... and it's... I don't mind that. I mean, you've given me a very straightforward plot where I can just watch a bunch of cool people fight in a cool way.
Yeah.
So I'm good to go.
So was there no wire work or very little wire work?
There was very little wire work. Okay. There was a few drags and things like that.
Yeah.
But there weren't any floating people or anything.
Okay. So, I'm a little... I don't know.
And he is excellent.
Is he?
He's so fast and he's so good. They said that the extras are good too because they have a nice long interview with him. And one of the reasons that... the impression I got anyway, one of the reasons that he's retiring is that his feeling is that the movies portray martial arts in a light that he doesn't like. And they end up, I mean, you know, what's cool about these movies is the fighting.
Right.
And there's not really any way to portray that martial arts is all about seeking peace and harmony and things like that.
Right.
So he's a really, really devout Buddhist. And I think he's doing it pretty much based on his religious beliefs.
And sort of to make a statement?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, which I think is kind of cool. I mean,
well, hey,
it sucks.
I'll tell you what.
It sucks to not have him around
anymore. I'll tell you what.
But
somebody pay me $5 million,
yep,
and I, too, will make a statement, and I will stop making martial arts movies.
Okay.
I've
always thought about that.
The offer's on the table.
About the corn subsidies.
Corn subsidies?
Yeah, the farm subsidies.
You're
I will stop farming.
Stop farming corn?
I will stop farming corn. All you need to do is pay me a lot of money to do it. Yep.
Yep.
In fact, so, anything I'm not already doing, I'll pretty much stop doing for any amount of money.
For any money. If you want to, I think I'd
pay us to stop these podcasts, please.
Yeah, please. Pay us.
Pay us.
To stop these podcasts.
$5. So you send me $5. And I'll stop doing these podcasts.
You know what's going to happen. We're going to get $5.
We're
going to
get
mail.
$5. And
somebody's
going to
be like, shut it.
Be
shut
like,
that hole. All right.
$5, bitch. My word's not. my word's no good for shit.
I was going to say, I watched The Cradle to the Grave this weekend on TBS.
Wait, what is it?
Cradle to the Grave.
Cradle to the Grave?
Cradle to the Grave is Jet Li and...
DMX.
Yeah,
DMX.
Yeah, whatever.
Cradle to Grave, I believe it's called.
It's Cradle to the Grave.
Cradle to the Grave?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. D to the A to the N.
Yes. And I was... I'm like, they used wires and stuff like that to make it feel martial artsy, and I'm like, oh, come on.
I was impressed with DMX in that movie, though.
I wasn't. You want to know why?
Why?
Because, well, maybe this is impressive in and of itself, because he just walked around with one look on his face through the whole movie. Angry.
Not the acting. I'm talking about the fighting. I thought he did relatively well.
Especially considering that
he's
through
untrained,
half
obviously.
The time, his pants were down around his knees.
Yes.
And
he's showing off the lugs as much as he can.
And in fact, I'm very impressed with anybody who can throw Muay Thai knees with their pants down around their knees and not fall over at some point during the fight. That's very impressive.
Well, see, if he's ever, you know, getting it on with a woman and his pants are down around his knees.
He can knee her right in the head.
He can knee her right in the head.
So he can hide the body later.
Yes.
I mean...
Stuff.
I mean...
Under his porch.
I mean, treat her gently.
Treat her, yes. Like a good woman should.
Okay. I saw a movie this weekend.
What'd you see?
Oh, this is movie stuff.
We're still in movie stuff?
I went and saw The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd, what's that about?
Matt Damon is, it's based on the story, or loosely based around one of the guys who helped found the CIA.
Really?
Yes.
I like Matt Damon.
Yes. Really interesting movie. It was a lot different than I thought. I thought it was going to be this action-packed spy movie.
Yeah,
it was not. It was one of those movies that starts to build,
mm-hmm.
and then they change topics, and they move on. And then it starts to build, and then they change topics again.
Boo, okay.
And it never really climaxes.
I hate that.
Yeah. You know, I mean...
It just leaves you hanging.
Right.
Yeah.
And a little blue. the acting was superb. Was superb all the way around. Matt Damon basically plays this... Oddly enough, his character is... studied poetry at Yale, joined Skull and Bones, all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. Was an actor, did all this stuff. He was one of the coldest, most humorless SOBs ever.
Matt Damon's character was?
Yes.
Really?
So he... Yeah, I mean, he was just like a brick wall, man. Wow. He was just stone cold, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the guy you'd want to turn to make tough decisions, because he would make a tough, I mean, he made a lot of tough decisions. Yeah. And
cool.
So don't go there if you're looking for an action movie. This is a movie that's semi, you know, it's loosely based on the founding of the CIA. They talk about Bay of Pigs. They do all that stuff. They talk about it starts from the end of World War II and goes through and how they infiltrate a little bit of infiltration of Germany. And it's basically he sort of has a nemesis who's in the Russian, you know, who's a Russian spy, and the two of them are, you know, constantly playing this kind of cat and mouse game. And you know, everybody in his life sort of gets dragged in at some point, and he can never really never really relax.
Very interesting.
Don't go there if you're expecting action. Right. There's not any action in it.
Really?
At all. And it's long. Like, almost 3 hours.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
But, if you have any interest in sort of historical-ish CIA spy type stuff...
Oh, so what do you give it on a D20?
I'm going to give it... because of the acting, I'm going to give it a 17.
I will give Fearless a 17 as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
The other one I saw... I did see one more, and it was on TV, and... I don't even know if it's worth talking about, but I saw Super Size Me.
How was that? That's the one where the guy goes and eats
McDonald's,
for how long?
For three times a day for an entire month. And he was having liver failure. Almost, his liver was almost failing by the end of the whole thing.
Oh.
His cholesterol had gone from like 120 to 240.
Now, wasn't this one of the inspirations for McDonald's to sort of do the health meal
they
and
never
salads?
That.
And
they said it was coincidental.
Yeah, right.
Right. The interesting thing is that a salad with ranch dressing on it, their salad with ranch dressing, has as many calories as a Big Mac.
Yes. Ranch dressing, salad dressing in general, bad.
Yeah. The odd thing is after I watched that movie... I was really craving a Big Mac. Because he's eating, he's gorging on McDonald's through the whole thing. And I don't care what fucking numbers you put in front of my face. You put some guy chowing on a Big Mac, telling me how good, because he loves the food. He's like, oh, and he had this.
Oh, it tastes good.
This is the other thing, is he's funny. And I think that's part of what makes it work. Is that if it were some boring documentary about a guy who ate McDonald's all the time, it wouldn't work.
Right.
But there was one part where at the beginning he's like kissing the Big Mac, and he's like, oh, I love Big Macs. And he's chowing on it. So, yeah. But the other thing I thought was interesting is that he was like 6'2", 180 pounds before he started. Which...
That's a little thin, actually, because I'm 5'7". And I weigh 170 pounds.
Right. So I actually think that is healthy. That's probably a good weight to be at.
It's, sure.
You know, it might be on the low end, but the only criticism I had is that how healthy was he eating before? And how bad is it to shock your system like that?
Right.
So part of it may be that his system was so unfamiliar with processing that stuff that it just completely freaked his system out.
Right.
I would think it's like someone that never drinks alcohol their whole life and then goes on a binge for a month. They're going to die.
Right.
Because their system isn't good at processing that material.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting aside.
A fine diatribe.
A fine diatribe. That's 3 points for diatribe.
6 points total.
Yep.
And we're done. Have a nice day.
We don't have any more stuff, video game stuff.
We have a couple things we're going to talk about.
Okay.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the Two Guys episode.
Oh, okay.
That episode 3 that we filmed and put
out
there.
That's right. We haven't talked about it yet, have we?
No, we haven't, and we did a couple of interesting things.
Yep.
I think that was probably our most successful and most well-done shoot.
Yeah. And I would say it was the funnest.
I would say, too. It was a lot of fun,
but this one was a lot of fun.
This one was, I thought, particularly fun.
We almost violated the Two Guys philosophy.
Right. I don't know if do people know that. I mean, I don't know if the audience knows this.
My wife, Jen, did some of the camera work.
Right. And the whole point of this originally was it was just going to be the two of us and a camera, and that was all we were going to use.
The whole idea was that it was just two guys. But we did not violate the philosophy because there was only two guys. There were only two guys.
See how that works?
Yep. So we found a loophole.
We did find a loophole.
Yeah.
A dogma.
And I like her a lot.
Wouldn't that be Pods or Dogma?
Could be. Yeah. Could be.
Not only that, I think the way we originally decided to let her do that was we decided that we could have shot it on a tripod, so it was possible.
That's right. It was possible to shoot it on a tripod, so it was okay.
So technically, Dan's wife's just a tripod.
Yes. Except without the extra leg. At least, I haven't found it yet. And I've looked.
Here's
not specifically for the extra leg, but, you know.
Here's hoping you don't.
Here's hoping I, yeah. Well, you know.
So a couple things we did in there. I'm just going to go right by that.
Let's just move on.
If anybody noticed, we do not actually have evil twins. So that was just Dan and I on both sides of the truck.
Yep.
We violated the space-time continuum just a little to get there.
I do think... Oh, drop my pen. I did want to say the script actually shows up twice.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to do a little Where's Waldo, find the script.
Actually, there is a script in each one of our episodes.
I don't know if there's a script in the first one. Is there?
I think there is. I think it's,
I know there's a script in the second one.
I was just about to say where it was,
but I'm not sure about the first one.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So maybe here's the deal. If you can find a script in the first one, we'll send back the $5 that we're going to get paid for not doing the podcast.
Yes. Actually, you know what? If we get sent $5 to stop doing this podcast, we'll stop doing this podcast. We'll start another podcast called Podzor, and we'll start over at episode one.
Right. Ooh, there you go.
There you go.
So, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the. Did we talk about this? The garbage mat.
We talked a little bit about the garbage mat and that I used it, but I talked about it before. So, just to let you know where I used it and how I used it, right at the showdown sequence where we kind of point the fingers at each other, we give each other the finger, or we finger each other. Should I just get on with it?
Yes.
Anyway, what you do is in Premiere or any video editing software, you have two layers of video. And what I did was I took the shot of us on one side of the truck and the shot of us on the other side of the truck. And the first thing I did, or the first thing that I tried, was I cut it right down the middle.
Right. And that made a line, right?
That made a line. It ended up not working. And I think it was because the sun was setting quickly.
Stupid
or we
sun.
Had different outfits on, so the camera decided to change its settings or whatever the case might be. So what I did instead was what's called a garbage mat, which I learned from Inside the Black Box.
Right.
Was the garbage mat essentially does the same thing, except giving you one line down the center, it has the ability to essentially create a polygon, which then you have these movable points. So as the timeline goes by, you can move the points so that it captures just the piece of the video that's on
top. Is that something
top.
You have to do frame by frame? Or will it actually, can you set a start point and end point and it'll tween them together?
It'll tween them together.
Nice.
Yep. So, yeah. So it's fun and easy to use. And I didn't have to because I started fucking with contrast and things like that to get rid of that
line. You didn't
have
to do any of that, did you?
But I didn't have to do any of that stuff. Nice. It just came together. The only other thing I did was at the end with us in front of the Quick Mart.
Yeah.
And that worked out so much better than I thought it was going to.
That cracked me up. And Mike was right. Mike made a comment that the perspective and everything worked out beautifully. Because I didn't know what you were going to do for the scene. I wasn't sure if you were going to put us in front of that store or not.
Oh, I actually wasn't going to put us in front of that store. But when I was sitting down editing it, I didn't have a picture of a store. And I thought, well, and I just went to Google Images, looked it up.
Yep.
Boom. Sure enough, it was right there with just the right perspective. All I did was had to shrink us down so that you could still see the Quick Mart or the Quick Stop. And it was just perfect. And I took out the red.
Yep.
I color keyed on the red, which is usually a bad thing to do. But I knew I was going to shrink us down so much that it wouldn't matter. And it just so happened that patch of light above me was the top of the fence,
right,
and it was sunny. Well, it just so happened that it lined up with that window. So it kind of looked like the window was generating the light.
And it worked fine.
Yeah, for what it was.
Right.
You know? So it reminded me a lot of the scene at the end of the last one where we're panning out on the city.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun doing that. And the one thing I didn't have to fuck with, because we just had one camera, was the audio.
Right.
I never really had to match up the audio to anything because I just had the one camera.
Now, we tried to record the audio to your iPod, but...
And it did work, but the problem was it was in my pocket.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of...
Oh, right. Yeah. And there was really only one section on there where the audio had a problem, like one small section. But other than that, it was fine.
And Lana pointed it out, and you pointed it out, too, before I posted it. The music was too loud.
Yeah, but like you said, I think you said you listening to it on normal speakers, not under a headphone, because I listened to it through a headphone as well.
But after she said it, one of the things I realized is probably most people, if not everyone, is going to listen to it through headphones. Ah. There's really not any... I would hope to God nobody's like putting it on their TV, you know, downloading it. Well,
dude, I do that.
You download it, burn it onto a DVD.
Of course I do.
And then give it to all your friends for Christmas.
Yes, of course I do.
And, oh, by the way, the DVD is... You can buy the Two Guys DVD. It's $300. So anybody that wants to purchase the Two Guys DVD...
It comes with all the extras.
It comes with all the extras.
In fact, we'll
I'll give you the raw footage.
We're going to ship the raw footage.
You can edit it yourself and send it back to us.
And put us on YouTube.
Yep. And $100 if you want us to stop doing them.
Yes. In which case, we'll start another podcast, or
it'll be called Two Men.
Two Men.
Yes.
Two dudes. Oh, what I was gonna say in there was, you did a really good job of cutting on the action. The scenes where we were popping up and shooting and popping back down looked fantastic.
Yes, and it's funny. There's a couple of tools in Premiere that allows you to do what's called a rolling edit.
Yeah.
And you just grab the two pieces as they fit together, right where they meet. You grab the rolling edit tool, and you can move them back and forth until you get to the point where, you know, if I'm ducking down behind the truck, for example, you get my shoulder at the same point in the duck, and then you cut it there.
Yep.
And actually what you can do because of the cut and just because of the way people perceive stuff is you can make the second portion of the video a little bit ahead.
Right.
Because that blink of switching from one to the other...
We fill that in automatically.
Yep. And notice, the other thing I've noticed that I think is really interesting is I think I used probably two transitions in the whole thing.
Yeah.
At the beginning, at the end. They were all just jump cuts. And I really think that jump cuts sometimes just work a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially for... You know, sitting on the couch going, yeah, that'd be brilliant. Bam, jump cut.
Right.
You're all of a sudden you're in the action.
Yeah.
And you don't want this weird time delayed fade thing. You want to be boom right there.
Yep.
And when we're talking about, when I go, our evil twins, of course. Boom.
Bam. Yeah.
You wanted to jump cut right to our evil twins.
I have to say, my evil laugh was my most favorite part.
That was perfect. And not only I was able to cut it, I intentionally cut it very fast. Like right when I was thinking that, and I cut it real fast, and I cut it right into you laughing.
Yeah.
Even though I was the one that edited the thing. It was a really nice perception of there actually were two other guys on the other side of the truck.
There was, and I thought that came across well, too. Yeah. I mean, not to break my own arm or anything, but...
Right.
Anyway, I was very happy with that.
Not to break your own arm?
You know, by patting my back. Patting my own
back. I've never heard that colloquialism.
Wow. I've never quite heard that emphasis on colloquialism.
I have a hard time pronouncing that word.
Colloquialism. Okay.
My mouth is dry. How far into this are we? We're at 52:39.
For all those of you at home keeping score.
52:39.
Let's see. We kind of talked about video game stuff.
Yep.
Anything on the new front with
books? I'm still digging through the Throne of Kings, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah?
I don't really like it all that much. It's not fast enough for me.
Mm. I'm reading a very old book by See, I'm going to totally forget his name.
Is it Mathematica Principia?
How did you know that?
Principia Mathematica?
No.
No?
No. It's called The Albino Knife by Steve Perry.
Oh.
It's in the Man Who Never Missed series, and it's actually very, very good.
Really?
Yeah. So, cool. Anybody, Steve Perry's a great writer anyway.
Yep.
But the Man Who Never Missed series is great. So The Albino Knife, yeah, total thought. I'm going to give that a good 18 on the.
Hey, I do have a book stuff now that I think about it. And this isn't so much of a book stuff, but I'm sure I've talked about it before. I bought Will Wheaton's book, Just a Geek.
You did?
And I bought it a while ago. It was a really good book, and I think I reviewed it on here. If you go out to, I think it's IT Conversations,
mm-hmm.
they have this really cool system where they have tons and tons and tons of MP3s from seminars and stuff. And what you can do is you can set up your own personal queue, and you got to log in, and it's all free, but you can set up your own personal queue of which ones you like, and that generates an RSS feed that
nice.
You can then sort of make your own personal podcast of collected seminars. Anyway, Will Wheaton's got one on there.
Oh, okay.
That's really good. That really, really is good. I mean, it's a couple of readings from a couple of his books, and they make me laugh every time I listen to them. So, and next
week... Does he read his books?
Yeah. Next week, I have got I did some work on my iTunes scripts. So I've got to finalize those, and I can publish those.
Your iTunes scripts.
My iTunes scripts for managing my podcasts.
Oh, what did you write those in?
JavaScript.
Really?
Yeah,
well, how do
Apple
you run
has
those?
has a COM object that you can dig into.
Really?
Yeah. So right now, I didn't like the way iTunes was managing my podcasts. Of course.
Of course.
So I manage them myself, and what I do is I have a script that runs, and I put it on the scheduler, so it runs at like 3 a.m. every night. And it deletes any podcast that I've played once. Unless in the grouping section of the tag,
uh-huh.
I put .keep. So it looks for .keep.
Nice.
In the grouping, and it'll keep it even if it's played it once. So that way...
Does it have to play it all the way through?
It has to play it all the way through.
So it'll check it for all the way through, and then
it'll
delete it.
And that's the problem with the way they're set up now, is that it's considered something played if you even start the fucking thing.
Right.
So, and then what you have to do is, you can't do keep the last 10 unplayed episodes, because if you start it, it'll remove it from your iPod. It
right.
won't delete it, but it'll remove it from your iPod.
Right.
If you say keep all 10 episodes, well, then you're keeping all 10 episodes of every podcast you're subscribed to.
I don't want that either.
Drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So this way, it removes it from your computer and your iPod if you've listened to it once, unless you have the keep tag.
Interesting.
And grouping.
Well, I may have to steal that from you.
Yeah. So I'm going to clean it up and I'll post it next week.
Okay, cool.
So shall we move on to martial arts stuff now that my fucking time is screwed up?
Damn it, Dan.
Damn it. Whose fault was that? Oh, that was my fault.
That was your fault.
Never mind. It's okay. It's acceptable. It was good enough stuff that...
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
Oh.
Not
well,
one bit.
Maybe I'll tell you later and you'll like it more.
All right. Tell me slower.
Okay. Let's move on to martial arts stuff, shall we?
Martial arts!
And we can now welcome our martial arts stuff listeners.
Hello, everyone!
Which has been moving up here and there and everywhere. I've kind of been... pushing it out to some forums and putting it out on podcast.
You've been being a techno whore and spreading yourself around.
I have been spreading myself around digitally.
Digitally. Edan.
Yes, Edan. So hello everyone that has any interest in the martial arts at all and stuff.
Oh, man.
I've also been listening to a lot of other martial arts podcasts, and woof. One of the things I've noticed is that, unfortunately, fucking, I don't know what happened to Karate Cafe. I'm totally bummed. They haven't had an episode in like a month and a half.
Well, holidays, you know, all gets.
I guess.
We did the
same thing. I actually emailed one of the guys, and he said the guy that does all the producing has been moving.
Ah.
So.
See, I'm telling you, that whole production thing.
I know, it's a pain in the ass.
People are lost without it.
Karate Cast, and I've been listening to Bad Boys with Black Belts or something like that. And there's just, they talk about everything but the martial arts, which is what we're doing now, I guess. So,
yeah.
Fuck me myself.
Wow.
What? So today, let's move on to our topic then.
All right.
Today.
Wait. Are we going to, briefly about the fact that we are about to venture into opening our own school.
We are about, yes. Let's talk about that briefly.
Okay, I'm done.
I think there's some important lessons to learn. And we'll see how this goes. This might be a good opportunity to sort of have a audio diary of the mistakes and the successes that people will make starting their own school.
Right.
So we are...
Maybe we can have a little competition.
Yes.
We're looking for a name.
We're
for
looking
our
for
school.
A name.
And we're catering specifically to new students up to intermediate.
Right.
Advanced students, just that's not what our for. Yes. It's not what we're looking
advanced
for.
Advanced students,
point.
Actually, we're going to send on to our instructor.
Right.
That's what our recommendation will be anyway.
Yes.
But the other thing that I want to discuss with you, that I think might be interesting, is that you and I both have first degree black belts in Sanyendo.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people would say, well, if you're just a first degree, you're not ready to open a school and start teaching.
Well, but, okay. First of all, we have a lot more experience than just Sanyundo. So it's not like we studied Sanyundo, got a black belt, and that's it.
Right.
I mean, we've been doing this for, I've been in it for, I don't know, 15 years, and you've been in it for how long? I don't know,
22.
18, 22, something like that?
22.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a vast amount of experience in other areas that, you know, I can attribute to saying I'm comfortable opening a school.
And one of the things I do feel comfortable at, especially with Sanyundo, is that Sanyundo is very theory and philosophy based.
Right.
So really, if you can find a good way to execute those theories, then it's more relevant that you do that than you punch in a certain way, or have your hips twisted in a certain way,
yes,
or have this step just right, or that step just right, or have your elbow higher than your shoulder, or lower than your shoulder, or whatever the case might be.
Right.
In that, if it's founded on those concepts, then it's good skills.
Right.
Regardless. So I had a little bit of hesitation about that, and I think I'm relatively comfortable with it. I have been in the martial arts long enough. I've taught enough classes that I feel comfortable teaching classes.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I mean, I've taken classes over. I've taught. I've done all that. I know how to do all that.
Yep. So I think the other thing that's interesting really is a lot of people talk about checking certifications and make sure they're certified with this and make sure to certify with that. Blah 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 blah. Personally, I think credentials are bullshit.
Right.
To some degree.
Right.
A plaque and a belt on the wall mean very little to me.
Right.
I think if what people really have to be focused on is what are they going to a martial arts school for? And I think what we need to be focused on as far as creating our martial arts school is what do we want to be focused on?
Right.
What is it? What kind of students do we want?
Right. We have an end goal. We need to have an end goal in mind for when we're ready to take our students and go, look, you've gotten to a point where we think you should go on to, you know,
or
more advanced or what have you or whatever. Or,
well, not
you know,
only that, but what do you want to learn? Why are you coming here? Are you coming here for exercise? Are you coming here so that you can have sort of a moving meditation away from the crazy world? Are you coming here so that you'll gain balance of body and hopefully in turn balance of mind?
Right.
Are you coming here because you want to learn how to fight? Are you coming here because you want to learn how to defend yourself?
Right.
And all, and that doesn't mean that we won't cover all of those things, but we'll cover some to more of a degree than others.
Right, and that's what I mean by we have to have this goal of where is it we're going to take our students.
And you
primarily,
and
yes. There will always be these little out these little tendrils right. We spread out in different directions right. To give them a taste of things.
And you know, I mean, I think you and I have talked a little bit about this. If somebody came to us and said, "Well, I want to train to be a cage fighter,"
yeah, wrong school. Sorry,
I'd probably send them on to Chan's because they have a Sansao.
Right.
Class, you know, and that would be a good start. And
yes.
I know Chan's, and they're good.
Yep.
And really, you know, something that Sifu Chan said to me a long time ago, years and years ago, really struck home with me is that, and I've said it before, is that when you're looking for a school, it's a combination of the other students, the instructor, and the style.
Yes.
And when all those when those three things fit, you've really found yourself a good school.
Right.
So my goal is to think about the kind of people that I want at our school and think about why they would be there and make sure the school gives them those things.
Yes. And unfortunately, there's no, I mean, you can plan a little bit ahead for that. That's why I said we can have kind of this goal for the direction we're trying to take our students or our main emphasis.
Right.
But until you start meeting these people and seeing if they mesh with what our ideals are.
Right.
And you won't know till you meet them.
Well, and that's the other thing is that, you know, for me, I don't see us doing a whole lot of sparring.
Right.
If we happen to have a student or two that are really interested in sparring.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
We'll start sparring then, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, I think you're right. It's important to realize that that can grow and change. But at the same time, I think it's also important to have, and one of the things that I sort of have a to-do list for our school, and name, logo, and mission statement are the three things on the list right now.
Right.
I think the name is important because I think you have to have. I actually was started to think of names, and I thought, well, what about like Grand Rapids Martial Science or something like that? And then my thought went to, well, what if you do a local Google search on martial arts? That's going to come up at the bottom of the list because it's not going to say martial arts,
right?
And so you know you need to think about stuff like that. If
yep.
you call it, you know, Sifu Dan's funky chicken dance class.
I would so go to that.
nobody's ever going to find it, and nobody's going to know what the fuck it means when they do.
Right.
So be aware that, you know, you're not just doing, you're not just starting a martial arts school, you're starting a business.
Yes.
And one of the guys from the Martial Arts Teaching Podcast, when he talks about the logo, he says, don't pick a logo through black belt eyes.
Right.
Don't pick a logo that you know and understand the style well enough, and it has a tremendous... And meaning is not a bad thing. You can incorporate a lot of meaning in your logo, but put your name in it.
Right.
You know, put your name in the logo, because if you put a fist in the middle of a yin-yang sign and that's all you've got for your logo, no one's going to get it.
No. And not only that, if you end up having T-shirts, people walk around, a lot of people
right.
won't ask you what it means.
Right.
They'll go, oh, that looks kind of cool.
Right.
If your name's in it, that's also one of...
Free
yeah.
advertising.
And any martial artist knows who gets out and about,
yep.
martial arts is huge on networking. You go to a seminar, you meet somebody from
oh,
a
yeah.
school... You know, I mean, that's a lot of word of mouth is a lot of how some,
yep.
especially the organizations that we hang out with, that's how you get
yes.
more business.
And the only thing that sort of fears me a little bit is that I know that the way a lot of schools actually make money for business purposes is through kids' classes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and maybe I'll be ready in a year or two. I don't know if I'm ready to take on a kid's class of 20 kids or 10 kids or something like that.
I am a very firm believer that it's hard to put an age on it, but you can. It just depends on the student. But kids' martial arts and adult martial arts do not mix. You can't. No. No matter what anybody says,
no.
You cannot take a kid and have him by the age of 12 and give him their black belt and equate it at all to, you know, somebody who's more mature, has that different mindset.
No.
And
I really think that, and I've seen some of them, some of the ones I've seen are very good. Is that first of all, it's a must that you have to have a kids class.
Right.
You cannot mix kids and adults.
Yep.
I do think that you can do an effective job of teaching the basic motor skills of the martial arts to children.
Sure.
And I would really say that probably age 4 is the youngest, but people can start at 4.
My point
those
is
basic
this.
Motor skills.
If you were to set a 4-year-old and a 29-year-old
no, it doesn't work.
Together and say, hey, we're going to take your black belt test.
The requirements
are vastly different.
Yes.
Now, I would think it would be cool and fun for the kids to have your junior black belt. You know what I mean? Where it's a black belt, yeah, but it's not a real black belt. It's your kid's black belt.
I would almost say that you could have a sort of a junior belt level and a belt level.
Right.
And so at age 15...
Or you don't even need to do it at age. Do it by how they progress through their junior levels. When they hit their junior black belt, they know enough. My goal would be they would know enough that we could advance them into...
They could start testing for their standard belts.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. I agree. So, yeah, we're kind of working through that. We've got some space at the Y that we're planning on renting. I'm going to throw out some flyers and
I ran out of paper today, otherwise I would have had them printed up.
But I think it's, you know, part of it is it's just a matter of doing it and saying, I'm going to commit the time to do it. Hopefully it doesn't slow down our podcasting schedule, but you never know.
Well, and right now it's going to start out, it's hopefully, if we get a student or two, it's going to be one day a week.
Yep.
In the evenings, you know, and you just got to see what happens.
And I'm planning on still going to Chan's. I want to still keep going to Chan's, I do think that it'll be easier with two of us, because there are times when we can both teach together, but there are times when just you can go and teach or just I can go and teach, and we can really kind of lean on each other,
right?
To do that kind of thing. I think as far as, you know, payment and stuff goes,
at this point, we talk about it.
At this point,
it's not like we're looking to get
people in the door.
Yeah, it's not like we're looking to supplement our income with this. It's just not going
to
happen.
Just get people in the door, and hopefully someday do what we love for a living.
Right.
You know, it's never too late to start. So as we go through the months, we will talk about how our school is doing and if we've gotten any bites and if we've gotten any students and how all that stuff is.
Or if we have any biting students.
And hopefully we do, because that's an important part of self-defense. Taking a hunk of skin. Well, good, because I thought this topic was a little thin, because I didn't really know how much we were going to cover with this topic. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today was counterattacks.
All right.
And counterpunching and things like that. And the reason that I thought of this, I was actually reading Bruce Lee's Tao of Jeet Kune Do, which I would recommend to anyone. It's a good bathroom book, actually.
Yep.
But the reason that I was thinking about this, I don't know about you, but whenever I spar, I don't really practice counterattacking. I look for openings.
Yes.
That's generally what I do. And one of the things that I thought was strange about that is I would say 90 to 95% of my martial arts career has been focused on counterattacks. For example, what do you do in a one step?
Somebody punches you and you
block and you counter.
A very
what do you do
point.
In our training drills? In our scenarios?
Somebody punches,
and this, you know, I'm not saying there's. I think that's good to practice, you know, especially if you. You know, vary the attacks, but it always starts with the other person attacking first.
Right.
So I guess one of the things that I would encourage people to do, especially during sparring, is to experiment with that. You know, try and discipline yourself as you're sparring to not attack anyone. to just counterattack.
Right.
Just apply your counterattacks.
Well, and I've found that. For me personally, I know that one of the things that I do specifically in sparring is before I even start is I put a goal, a small goal like that in mind. I'm going to focus on that. No matter what else happens, this is what I'm going to try to do. And that's and that usually works to kind of get ready for that and say something like that because it plants it firmly in your mind, I think. And I think that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
And counterattacks are... You're right, because what happens typically is they attack you, and you defend to get out of the way, and then you attack them,
right.
or something like that, and you never really... You're right. Yep. I never really thought about it until you just said that.
And keep in mind that the other thing that I think this involves, or the other concept, in my opinion, is the draw.
Yeah.
And not draw like everything's even, but drawing their attack to a particular target.
Yes.
Drop your hands a little bit, you know, to open up your head.
Yep.
Lift the one of my favorites is lifting up my elbow to open up my ribs.
Uh-huh.
And you're drawing their attack to a particular place because obviously the counter is going to work a lot better if you know where they're going.
Right. You try to direct them into some place.
You try to direct them into a particular place. The other thing you can pay attention to is people's rhythm.
Yep.
You know, do they do punch, punch, round kick, punch, punch, round kick, punch, punch? Is that one of the combinations that they do every time?
Right.
And if so, punch, punch, guess what?
Here comes a round
kick. Here comes a round kick, you know, and that's a great time to try a sweep.
Yep.
And keep in mind that sparring, you know, I think that's one of the things that's important about what you said was to have these little goals in your head. Try different things.
Yep.
Decide to yourself, well, I'm going to really work on my motion.
Right.
So I'm going to try and get around them
yep.
tonight. You know, that's
and the key to that is don't change your goal once you did it.
And the key to that is don't worry about who's quote unquote winning.
Yes, for the love of God. If you're worried about that, you're going to miss a lot of important stuff.
Right. And I think that that is difficult for a lot of people because they don't understand. They think, I think there's especially a lot of beginners, think that the sparring is the end product of all the practice.
Right.
I do all this That's practice stuff so that when I spar, I'm good at sparring.
Yeah, and to be honest...
And sparring is really... Mm. It's just another exercise.
It is.
It's just what you're... All of this stuff. I mean, I guess the physical aspect of all of this stuff is that when something in real life happens, you have the ability to defend yourself
right.
and defend others potentially.
That's what all of this stuff comes together to do.
Right.
You're not doing all this stuff so you can be a great sparrer.
Right.
I mean, you're doing you now, and the only other thing you probably can do is if you go to competitions
right.
where you fight, in which case, yes, then all that training comes to there.
And like I say, but there's different goals
real
for different
stuff,
people.
Right, but this... Typically, when you're sparring with your class and that kind of stuff, yeah, don't treat it like you're at your tournament. Try to learn something from
it. Yeah, and even when I think there are times to treat it like when it's your tournament and times not to. Even if you're a tournament fighter and you love to do that and that's your thing, don't worry more about winning at the tournament than winning in your school.
Right.
Your school is the place to train for the tournament in whatever aspect that may mean. And sometimes, you know, this is something that Steve Perry says. Steve Perry?
Steve Barnes.
Steve Barnes. This is something that Steve Barnes says, is failure is a critical component of success.
Oh, it is.
And the only way to learn how to do things better, the only way, for example, if the audio never failed on Podzor, and we just did it the same way we plugged our headsets into the back of the computer and just did it the exact same way every time, I would have never learned anything about editing audio for
right.
podcasts.
Right.
Thus, when we, you know, when we try to go out in the world and have people pay us to produce their podcasts, it would never work because I wouldn't know shit about it.
Right.
Or I'd come across some weird thing and go, oh my God, and have to figure it out then.
Right.
Tournament time, not the time to be figuring shit out.
No, right. At that point, it's too late. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's test day. You know what I mean?
That's
it's
right.
Like you've been studying and learning things all along, and when you go to take your final exam,
yeah,
at that point the studying's kind of moot.
You're done.
Right.
So I would really strongly suggest to people that they try to experiment with this whole counterattacking thing. And you know, most people especially have partners that will work with them. You know, if your school is used to doing some one steps, or I think in karate they call it bunkai.
Yeah.
Then you know, you can also set up situations with your partner during sparring to say, well, I want you to come at me, but can you only jab with your left hand?
Right.
Just come at me and jab. Now, don't do a bunkai. Don't do, I step into you nice and slow so that I can practice my technique.
Right.
Do it with a full speed jab and get a feeling for how that technique works with a full speed jab.
Yep.
And
that's another pitfall that people, I think, have a tendency to go into is when they're sparring, you tend to fall back on the things you know.
Right.
Because it works.
Right.
You need to set yourself up so you can try to do these things where you're going to fail.
Yeah.
It's not going to work the first time.
That's right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And that's how you learn stuff.
That's right.
Because if you never practice these things,
yep,
you're never going to learn them.
And
you're going to have to fail to learn them.
Right. Well, one of Chuck's best moves in sparring is that reverse round kick.
Oh, yeah.
It's a killer.
My gut knows it well.
It is a killer. And when I first saw that, I started doing it a lot. And I don't have quite the I'm not quite as tall, and I don't have quite the flexibility that he does, but it's very effective for a thigh kick.
Yep.
And it's very surprising, too. It's a weird angled kick, and people don't expect it.
Yep.
But if I always fell back to round kick, front kick, jab, punch...
Yes.
Then you never really... You never learn anything.
Right.
And so what if my kick doesn't work? That's how you learn.
Right.
You
and
fail to
and
succeed.
And you're sparring, so it's okay if it doesn't work.
That's right.
That's the time for trial and error.
Yep. So let's wrap this bad boy up.
All right.
It's been long enough. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah.
It's
a whole new year.
It's a whole new year.
It's a whole new year.
I am Dan, and I am... definitely not going to keep my New Year's resolution.
I am Sterling, and I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Nice, dude. I like it.